I want to thank God for all of you who are sharing with us on today. We also want to welcome our streaming live viewers. Amen. And we're so excited about what God is about to do in the life and ministry as we turn to our Christmas season and remembering that Christ is the reason. Amen. 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 I get to preach on Christmas Eve and then go home and love on my mama. Amen. I love on my mother-in-law and my friends and family and then get ready for a fresh start of a new year. Amen. 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 Galatians chapter number 4, we want to Galatians chapter 4, we want to look at verses 4 and 5. And there you'll find these words. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Look at somebody and tell them, thank God for Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. For the next few moments, we want to speak from the subject, thank God for Jesus. We want to thank Brother Jarrell Jones for helping us out on keys today. Amen. We are in the midst a musical transition. Amen. It will be a lengthy interim. We are having several musicians that will pass. Get on the main line right here. Amen. And turn me up. Make me hot. We will have several musicians who will come through. And it will be a lengthy interim. Amen. And we will be in prayer and we will walk through this season in excellence. Amen. 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 And when our new musicians arrive, we will give them the freedom to incorporate their own staff for ministry and musical excellence. Amen. And so we're going to do things and get it done and watch God work and allow our music ministry to get to a level that we just can honor God in everything that we do. Amen. 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 So Galatians chapter number 5, you can turn me up in the monitors. Galatians chapter number 5, number 4, verses 4 and 5. Our subject matter today is thank God for Jesus. And several years ago, Evie Hill was sharing with a group of young preachers at the Hilton LAX at the WHW Preaching Conference. And a group of young ministers had followed him to hear evangelist Billy Graham preach. And they came out of that encounter and they were sharing with Dr. Evie Hill that they enjoyed Billy Graham's message, but his message was not too deep. Evie Hill then looked at them and said unto them, young men, there are depths where the fish are not biting. You want to make sure that the message reaches where the fish are biting, because we are fishers of men. Amen. Today, I want to keep it plain and simple and make sure that the message hits us right where we are. This season, my brothers and sisters, is not about green. It's not about red, although because of who we are, because of the culture that we live in, we embrace it. It's not about Christmas trees, but we embrace them. It's not about how much you're going to spend for gifts and buying people gifts on your job who you do not like to hold up a standard. But it's part of what we do in this season. You probably have a tree at your house. I have trees at my house. But that's not what this season is all about. Because we are dual citizens, we are citizens of this United States, of this earth realm, but we are also citizens of the kingdom. We have the ability then to operate and do things decently and in order, and then do it in a way where we always give God the glory. Amen. In giving God the glory, we must understand that this season is simply about the birth of Jesus Christ. It is a season in which we should be happy. It is a season in which we should be thankful. It is a season in which we shouldn't allow things, mundane things, to drag us down. It's amazing because even in the height of this season of happiness, this is a season where more people enter into sorrow and depression and stress. This is a season that leads to more suicides than any other season. And sometimes you have to ask yourself the question, do people really know the reason for this season? Amen, amen, amen. This season is a season about celebrating Jesus Christ, that God thought so much of us, that he would send a portion of himself to us for the purpose of creating a connection from earth to glory, a connection from humanity to divinity, to let us know that God loves us. It's in Galatians 4 that Paul now is sharing this letter to the church of Galatia. And he says, and he talks about when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law. He's talking about this concept of the fullness of time. And it's not the time that you and I think of. It's the time that God has identified for his plan of action to be manifested among his creation. There are two types of time. There's the kairos time, and then there's the chronos time. And the chronos time is measured by something called the chronometer. And the chronometer is nothing more than the watch you have on your arm. So we live between the seconds and the minutes and the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and the years and the decades and the centuries and the millenniums, because we are bound by chronos time. But then there's another element of time called the kairos. It's the fullness of time. Now, in order for you to see the fullness of it, you have to be exempt from it. It's kind of like the other day I was going down 104, and the train track started lighting up, and the handles came down to block your progress through the intersection. And I was sitting there, and I happened to be on the phone with my wife, and then I looked, and I was still sitting there, and then I looked again, and I was still sitting there, and I looked again, and I'm like, oh, my God, and I began to look down the train track, and I did not see the end of the train. Although the train was constantly moving, I know it's bound by earthly time, I did not see the end of the train. One day I was flying out of Denver International Airport, and I think we made a loop and passed over that same train track. And I seen a train, and I was able to see the engine, and I was able to see the caboose all at the same glance. Why? Because I was elevated from it. I was exempt from it so I could see the totality of it. So in order to understand God as he understands and looks at time, he is not bound by time, but he is exempt from time. And any time God decides to show up, it's always going to be the right time. That's what old preachers used to say. He may not come. I wish I had a little help this morning. He may not come when you want him, but he is always on time. So in the fullness of time, in his time frame, he sends his son. Born of a woman, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. I always tell you that anytime God moves, he always does something in the natural before he does anything in the supernatural or the spiritual. So he's not going to trick us with some type of super unnatural thing that happens to get Jesus here. Mary declares that the baby she had was given to her by the power of the Holy Ghost. That she held that child for 9 months, that she went through the process and gave birth to this child. And yes, she rocked him in his arms. And yes, he cried. And yes, he wept. And yes, he had to be changed because he was human, but he also was divine. I say, I don't mean to bust anybody's bubble, but when he was in the womb of Mary, he was not in her womb reading the Jerusalem Tribune. He was a little child. He was in the womb going through what every child goes through. And he came through natural means, but yet he still was divine. He had a divine purpose, but he flowed in the natural in order to bring that divine purpose to pass. His divine purposes are the reason we're here today. We are connected to God. We are connected to favor. We are connected to mercy. We are connected to grace. We have reservations in the non-smoking section because of Jesus Christ. He came in the fullness of time to redeem us, to bring us into a loving relationship with Jesus, in a loving relationship with his son, his father. So many times we try to create things that are hard to create. And that's why he said, how can you love someone who you have not seen and do not love me who you see all the time? So that's why he comes now through 40 and two generations to walk among us, to hold our hands, that we may have the ability to hold him and touch him and experience him for ourselves. He came with purpose. Let the church say purpose. Purpose number one, he came to rescue me. I was messed up. I was out of control. I was in all sorts of demonic and satanic activities because I did not know how lost I was. And to bring you into the message, you were messed up. You were in all kind of satanic attack. You were under all kind of things going on because you did not know how lost you were. Can you say amen? Sometimes you don't even know you need to be rescued because of the things that are going on in your life. And so God sent Jesus to rescue me, to save me from the trials of sin, from the penalties of sin, to save me from the power of sin, to embolden me and equip me. And one day he will snatch me from the presence of sin. That's called sanctification and glorification. That's called being saved by grace through Jesus Christ. He came to save me. I can't repay him. It's unmerited favor. He gave me a way out of no way. My degrees didn't dictate I should be saved. My money doesn't dictate I should be saved. My last name doesn't dictate I should be saved. But I am saved by grace through faith, because that is the love that Jesus Christ showed unto me, that he will say, whosoever will, let him come. And whosoever decided to call on the name of Jesus, he rescued us. Because he rescued us, he then has permission to redirect us. I was living in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina hit. And it was amazing because Dr. Golson, someone actually gave Dr. Golson a picture of the disaster of Hurricane Katrina. And one day I was going through this huge book with all of these pictures, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the place where I was living. And had about 14 feet of water, and we were able to get out a couple of days earlier before everything hit. And what I noticed, when people were being rescued, they didn't tell those who were rescuing them where to take them and direct them. When they were being rescued, they were just happy to say, thank God I'm out of what I used to be in. They weren't telling the first responders, look, take me over here. They were just happy to get out of what they were in. When God rescues me, he then has permission to redirect me. He gives me a direction to make sure that I stay on the beaten path. He gives me direction to make sure I stay on the straight and narrow. Now, the direction he sometimes gives me may not make sense to anybody else, but the only thing that is important is that I do what God has told me to do. Too many times we try to explain God to people who don't need an explanation. We try to tell them what God is doing. And look, when God says he's going to do something for you, some folk will never receive it because they can't handle what God is about to do for you. Sometimes you just have to step into whatever he says. God may say, look, you've been working on that job long enough. You're not going to get a promotion. I have an entrepreneurial spirit in you. I have people who are ready to make your business great. I need you to step out in faith and step out and start that business. And you're saying, but I'm comfortable. I know I'm going to get paid every whatever. And God is saying, I have something in you to do something great. Are you willing to step out? Sometimes you got to step out when you have no direction. You have no understanding. You don't know where your next meal is going to come from. But you say, God, I trust your direction. Think about what I'm saying. When he rescued you, why wouldn't you trust him? If he rescued you, why wouldn't you take his GPS system and follow his course to get you from where you are today to where he wants you to be? So I thank God for Jesus because he loved me enough. Listen, not when I came to church, but while I was yet a sinner. Man, I wish I knew how powerful this was. Why I was still dark and still gloomy and still saturated in my sins. He literally stepped into the cesspool of my life. He picked me up and cleansed me with his blood and presented me faultless. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And he gave me a new direction. So I thank God for Jesus. In the fullness of time, when I needed him the most, he showed up. Sometimes you're crying yourself to sleep and you're pacing the floor all night long and you're wondering when Jesus is going to show up. And Jesus is wondering when you're going to go to sleep. And because when you go to sleep, he's ready to show up because you can't sit there and worry and be faithful at the same time. You just came to the altar and you prayed and say, Lord, I'm casting all of my cares upon you because you cared for me. And I'm coming to the altar and I'm leaving my burdens at the altar. But when we give the benediction, you're going to come back and snatch them up and walk out the door and say, Lord, I got to see it tomorrow. Sometimes God is just saying, if I rescued you one time, if I gave you something that you did not deserve and you cannot earn on your own, relax in that challenging situation and watch how I show up again and redirect your life. See, one of the challenges in being redirected in order to soar, in order to get where you need to be, is that we are so concerned or overwhelmed with what we leave behind, that we never can get to where we really want to go. See, the Wright guys, the airplane guys, Pastor Wright brothers. Yeah, Pastor know about it. I'm using one of his would-be illustrations. Amen. The Wright brothers started building planes in the Midwest. They actually started building planes in a bicycle shop in the Midwest. But they realized that studying all of the aerodynamics and all of the different things, they came to a conclusion that where they were they would not be able to get what they needed with the wind to get the plane to where it needed to be. They left stuff behind and they moved to the East Coast. I believe it was North Carolina. For two reasons. Number one, because if anything went wrong, they would be able to land the plane and all of the rubbish and the brush on the coast. But they moved to North Carolina for a second reason, because it was there they had the right trajectory of wind. Oh, my God. There are times that you will never soar because you're too concerned about what you got to leave behind instead of what God has for you in front. Sometimes we overpack for the journey. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, when I go home, I don't have all that stuff. I got one little bag. I can go stay for a month with one little bag. I know what the temperature gonna be. I know what this, how this is. I don't know how that is. I know everything. I have one little bag. Even when I go home, I don't take suits because I ain't even planning to go to church. I'm just going home. And I never overpack. Sometimes you cannot be redirected and soar to the place you want to go because you're too concerned about packing stuff that's actually holding you down. The Wright brothers years ago said the plane won't fly unless it gets the right wind under it. How many of us have been cleared for takeoff? Stuck on the runway. Wind conditions are excellent. But we're still overloading the plane with stuff we don't need. We're worried about what we're leaving behind, and that's why we can never get to the place God wants us to be. God says sometimes when I redirect you, you have to drop the dead weight. Catch the wind and soar to the place where I'm trying to take you. Not only did he rescue me, but secondly, he redirected me. Thirdly, he redeemed me. He got me right. He purchased me back because Satan had me bound. Satan had taken me. Satan had changed my mind. Satan had me believing that he really was God. Satan had me believing that he really deserved my worship. Even sometimes the language we use, we honor Satan more than we honor God. Sometimes we'll say stuff like this. Look at Satan acting up again. Instead of saying, let me see how God gonna bring me out of this. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We put emphasis on things that even as children, you remember when Big Mama used to bring you in and she was about to whip you and she would ask you, why did you do this? And you would say, Big Mama, the devil made me do it. That's good when you 5, 6, and 7. But when you 30, 40, 50, 60, and 70 and still saying the devil made me do it, something is wrong with your relationship with God. Rescue me, redirect, redeem me. Now, when he redeems me, listen, he regenerates me. Let the church say regenerate. Regenerate. And when you begin to play with the word regenerate, it's really seen in the word what actually happens. So we break the word down. Conspicuously enveloped in the word regenerate is the word gene. But before we can get to gene, we have to start with the prefix. R-E means re, to do it again. So I already have been gene because I'm a descendant of Adam. When God molded and folded man and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, I am a descendant of this ruddy red creature made out of clay called Adam. So I already have genes. But when I'm saved, Jesus steps in and he takes my old genes which make me lie, which will make me gossip, which will make me steal, which will make me fornicate, which will make me commit adultery, which will make me claim people who not mine on my income tax return. Help me, somebody. Which will make me sit with a prideful heart, which will make me do all kind of things that are unpleasing unto God. And so because my old genes were faulty, when I'm saved by grace, Jesus steps in and he regenes me. He adds something to my old genes that, because guess what? The same energy it takes for you to tell a lie, it's the same energy it will take for you to tell the truth. It's the inside that make you comfortable lying, but when you're regened, you're comfortable telling the truth, and you let the truth set you free. Preach, Reverend Warner. It is the inside that regenes your mind. It's not that you forgot the words you used to know when you was in your 20s and 30s. It's not that you forgot how to conduct yourself when you were outside. But now that you're in the fold of Christ, he has regened you and you have a new mind and a new mouth and a new action and a new thought and a new talk. Because my genes are not like they used to be. Look at somebody and say, thank God I'm not like I used to be. I'm happy that he regened me. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm happy that he came in and turned some old stuff into new stuff. I'm happy that I have the ability to look and laugh and smile when in the past them old genes will say, oh no, you ain't gonna do that today. He regened me. He created a new man in its old flesh. He stepped in and he began to work on my mind and work on our hearts and work on us. And that's why when you marry someone and you may have some tension in the first years of your marriage, and then y'all decide to stay together, and then y'all decide to go to church, y'all decide to go to Bible study, y'all decide to let the word take root. The same person who you wanted to leave 10 years ago, it's the same person who you really can't leave right now, because y'all grown together and y'all hearts are knitted together and y'all walk hand in hand, not because they look different on the outside, but because there's something different on the inside. Okay, all right. Trust me, it's something different on the inside. That makes me regene. He regened me. Now listen to the word. Regenerate. So R-E means to do it again. Gene, heredity, descendancy. And then rate, value, cost. I could not be regened unless it cost somebody something. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. It don't matter what anybody else think about you. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been washed by the blood of Jesus? Have you come out and said, thank God for Jesus redeeming me? So he does it. He does it with a cost. He does it with a cost. Now, we celebrate around March and April. We call this day Good Friday. Who was it good for? Can y'all hear me? Okay. Who was it good for? Wasn't good for him. Did you see how they nailed his hands? Did you see how they beat him with a cat of nine tails? Did you see how they spit on him and mocked him? Did you see how they pierced his feet with spikes and not nails. Did you see how they put a phony crown on his head? Did you see how they adorned him in a purple robe and mocking him as the king of the Jews? Who was it good for? It wasn't good for him, but it was good for us. See what happened on Calvary. You heard him saying Barabbas or Jesus. But what they were really saying was Colson, Jackson, Pilate, Smith, Deacon, Deaconess, choir members. And what Jesus decided was not to put us on Calvary, but to put his son. My God, my God. Watch what he did. He chose us over his own son. He let him die on Friday. He let him stay dead all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. Watch this. Oh, Lord, I almost slipped. Help me, Jesus. He redeemed me at a rate. And it cost me something. Now watch this. This is a little story for us to figure it out. And when I was going to school in Wyoming, we would often go out and study Indian tribes and go to reservations and the Dakotas and do all of this. And one of our professors was an Indian, and so he taught us a whole lot about an Indian. And so one day he was telling us this story because there was an Indian tribe, a reservation that had church, and they worshiped God. And so we had an opportunity to go out there and see the church, and we heard the testimony of this one Indian. And they were talking about what Jesus had done for them. So this Indian takes out a knife, and he cuts a trench in the ground. And he sees a worm, and he takes this worm and put it in this trench. He takes out a flammable liquid, and he fills the trench with this flammable liquid. He strikes the match, and he lights the liquid that's in the trench. He puts the worm right in the middle, and the trench catches on fire. The worm couldn't go to the left. The worm couldn't go to the right. And the story is told that how this worm was squirming as the fire was enclosing him. The Indian bowed down, snatched the worm out of the fire, and said, "This is what me, Jesus, did for me. When I couldn't go right, when I couldn't go left, when I couldn't go forward, when I couldn't go reverse, just in the nick of time, look at somebody and tell them, he saved me. He saved me, he rescued me, he redirected me, and I am glad. And on this second Sunday in December, I can shout out, thank God for Jesus." If you receive that word on today, put your hands together and bless God on today. Thank God for Jesus. I'm saved by Jesus Christ, and I am glad about it. Let us stand to our feet as we will extend to you two invitations. Invitation number one is an invitation.